Hello everyone, this is Josh Medlin, and I am a filmmaker and editor on David's media team. I've been the one behind some of the recent short films you've seen on his channel, and I wanted to hop on here really quickly to let you know that there is a brand new film live on the channel, and it has to be one of my favorites yet. This has been a super scary and unsettling time for all of us, and I myself just moved 3,000 miles across the country to start working for David's team right in the middle of all of this, which is exactly why I was so inspired to make a film around David and Dr. George's inspiring and uplifting conversation on Instagram Live the other day. It's all about the good that can come out of this, and how it will bring us closer together than ever before. If you need something to brighten your day, please go check out the film we created and show it some love. Go check out David Meltzer on YouTube and let us know what you think about the film in the comments. Now, back to the playbook.
Hey everyone, today's episode is from my live stream on Monday. I was joined by two incredible guests, Brandon Ball and Heather Monahan. We are talking about now is the time to double or even triple down on investing in yourself. And even though you might not get paid today, you will see it in the future. Join me for all of this and more on The Playbook.
This is Entrepreneurs The Playbook.
All right. Brandon Ball, the CEO of Starch Creative Agency, with some really big clients. And I love your story because I think more than ever, I just had a conversation with my 18-year-old who told me if they don't let her go back to school in September, that she's going to hold off from going to college. And she can't go. She doesn't want to learn online, which I am so far behind. I'm like, college is about the experience. I'm overeducated as an entrepreneur, overeducated. What are some of the key attributes that you think have benefited you to build such a successful agency that are outside the realm of traditional education?
Yeah, I mean, it's a different type of schooling, I guess, right, for entrepreneurs that you can go to. For me, the kind of key components were working on the brand side for so long and having the opportunity to really work through multiple different business units within the brands, you know, and understand how kind of a whole company works together. But at the end of that, really what I found was just the drive was different. You know, my drive and motivation was different. I wanted to do something else. And I actually highly encourage, like, my daughter will be going to school. I highly encourage people to be educated. My wife has her MBA. You know, I was just not the one who took that route, I think, by kind of trial by necessity, if you will, you know. But I think people definitely should utilize that platform as much as they can for the experience. And it's an accomplishment. It's being able to really force yourself to prove that you can obtain something and achieve a goal, right? Like, you can start a project and you can finish it and see it out on the other side.
Yeah, I agree completely. And it's the experiential values that I really stress. And, you know, I have kids that are hyper academic and keep on reminding them when they're like, well, they're smarter than I said. Look, there's people who are better students than other people. Everyone has strengths and weaknesses. And I think that's proven by entrepreneurs. But there is an extraordinary experience to be had. One of the other components to think about as, you know, our educational system and our freelancing system is shifting so quickly now. And I think it's now accelerated because online education was forced into the forefront on Monday, and online learning. But also, you know, how do we unify online and socially interact online, especially at a younger age? It's the biggest fear that I had. And then I think the expense side, I'm learning myself. I never would do interviews by Zoom or LinkedIn Live. And I am realizing how much money I've wasted over the last 3 years. Like, I hated these things.
We're being forced, right? We're being forced to learn how to use technology. We have offices in different locations, and we've always found it really challenging to work. I shouldn't say challenging. We found it difficult to be as efficient remotely, right, with anything. And so by being forced into shelter in place in both states, having the team work with technology and utilizing Zoom and video conferencing, we found a huge uptick in our kind of adaptation to the usage platform. You know, I feel like it, I'm sure you do too. I feel like a game show host. Like, I'm just on this thing all day.
So that's a great idea. I am a game show host. Oh my gosh. I went to law school to be a game show host. Now in your business though, the challenges are always about, to me, what makes things successful: quality content consistently. And as a creative agency, working with Coca-Cola, Vans, just to name a few, you know, you work with the biggest of the big, they're really particular about quality content and consistent quality content. Yeah. And so What are some of the main skills and things that you've learned about creating, number one, quality content, and then two, creating the consistency of that quality content?
The QC process, and that's an ever-evolving threshold, right? Like, it's continuously moving for us. So as we work with these brands, the first step is always understanding who the brand is, what they stand for, right? What is the message that they're trying to portray? What are their golden objectives they're trying to achieve? And there's the technical side of it, which, you know, we have very proficient technical individuals, but the QC, the stakeholders within that process, making sure that the quality of the deliverable meets the demand of these Fortune companies is the highest. I mean, even to myself, I'm still involved in checking the balances and looking at something before it goes out the door, making sure it meets the need, like a little micromanaging in that, but we've always got to do the best, and the goalpost moves every single day. So what was perfect and met the expectations or exceeded a week ago has to change the following week, and it's going to have to be better. And we try to continuously communicate with our clients the importance of the consistency side, right? So whether that's social media strategy and planning, how you communicate. Today is a prime example, you know, the situation that we're all sitting in currently, trying to address with our clients the importance more than ever that while everybody wants to pull back on marketing budgets right now, right? We see that kind of initial reaction. We want to freeze. We want to pull our ad buys. Even if you're freezing your budget, what I've been preaching to every client that we have is now is not the time to stop communicating. Now is the time to communicate more than ever, not just because you have people's attention, but also because you've got to keep people entertained. You've got to help them think about something else other than what's happening. Give them that break and that reprieve that they need, you know, during the day. Don't sell right now. Focus on how you make their lives better and adapting to what today is and moving forward. And that's got to be consistent. That's got to be every day. And so really, we're really changing the way that we market right now, right? We're changing the way that we connect with the consumers.
Yeah, I'm trying to build with my clients and myself an idea that I want to be someone that people seek. And so I'm not trying to sell anything, but I want to put out that quality content so that I become someone that people seek, not that's dumped upon them. And when you become someone that that is sought, then you can really own that customer and be able to contribute value to that customer. What, you know, I would say come up with it, especially now we have a normalcy fallacy and a planning fallacy that somehow we can plan our way to the future. And I always say, if you want to make God laugh, come up with a well-developed plan. I've been a CEO of really big companies and dealt with big agencies as well and had big campaigns. One of my favorite questions to ask though, what was the biggest surprise? You know, you have your great QC, but there's always a campaign that you're like, the customer thinks this is going to be amazing. And it's either, you know, you're like, there's not a chance this is going to be good. And it comes out a huge surprise or vice versa. What was your number one surprise campaign? And then what'd you learn from it?
I have a vice versa version of that. So we work with Adidas a lot, and we work with multiple different business units within the brand. And we'd been tapped to work on James Harden's launch for his first shoe. So here you have all of the hype around the $200 million man, right? Like, they signed this huge contract with him, and they'd come to us and they said, hey, we need to figure out how we are completely disruptive at the retail front, as well as the consumer experience side. And for those that don't know, we do a ton of work in retail and consumer experience. That's a big part of our business. And so we sat the team down, a big group of people, and we really just brainstormed. And we had a bunch of really cool, creative, disruptive ideas on how we would do this at all the Adidas stores, at wholesale doors as well. And there was, out of the three we were presenting, there was this giant animatronic head that was a stealthy shape of Harden's face and his beard. And I just remember thinking, this is the red herring. Like, this is, the team believes in this thing and I don't believe in it. I think it's the worst idea out of all three. And the clients, when we presented, the clients stood up in the room after that idea and like applauded. And that was the one, and it rolled out all over the US and Asia. And I just remember thinking, like, I love being wrong. My favorite thing about being the CEO and an entrepreneur is being wrong. I love it when the staff is right and I'm wrong. Yeah. And so that was just this, you know, this smile was on my face for weeks because I was so wrong about their attraction to this activation and installment. And it was really cool. I mean, it went out all over the world and it got a lot of fun press, and I get to always tell the staff, and they get to always tease me like, that's, you know, I was wrong, man. I thought that was the one that they were going to hate. They're like, nobody wants a giant 6-foot head of James Harden in their window. Right. Yeah, they do.
Everybody, that's right.
Yeah.
You know, that's so interesting about the frequency in what we do with creative quality content like that, is that you never know how far it's going to reach. You never know what spectrum it's going to attract. And then for you and me, you know, sometimes the message isn't so clear. And so, you know, I do more short form stuff than you do, but every day consistently. And it amazes me. I had to, I told someone, I wish I could find the old school 86-year-old, you know, old marketing guy, because that knew how to edit, because I could be the first guy to capture like the oldest genre of people on digital marketing. If I could find a madman, you know, like the madman guy. Yeah. And I knew one, Jack Humphries was his name, and he ended up passing away literally last year. And it broke my heart, because I kept on saying, Jack, I'm going to teach you Premiere, or at least some editing tool, because there is a different frequency. Like these kids, sometimes they do a video and, you know, I put myself into the esteemed thought leader role. And I'm like, oh, you know, this is amazing, you know, thoughts that I have, you know, and they butcher it completely and make it, you know, simplistic and stupid and silly. And I'm like, don't put that out, please. No one's going to, that's going to bomb. And then of course, you know, that's my millions of views. Everyone loves it. They're like, Dave Meltzer's a genius. And I'm like, oh my God, what do I know about what I'm doing? So I think that's the funnest part about being creative.
But that ties back to what you were talking about earlier, which is this generation, online schooling, use of technology, right? And where the attraction level is with people and the engage. And I think that, I know that what we've seen is part of this job that we have is our job is to guide the ship, but we've got to hand over the wheel, because they understand and they know how people are converting. And we look at content and part, so much of it's like letting go. You know, I think of our own social strategies and client social strategies, and not necessarily agreeing with the content that's being created, but allowing people to push, you know, like we're editors in that, in the right sense of QC is editing as well. But we've got to allow people to take big strides and challenges. And I see our team's best work is when they're not overly briefed in and they don't have a bunch of boundaries, you know, and they're not told do this. Like it's when you really allow them to fly, they tend to come back with some of the most creative stuff. And I think that we're experiencing that every day now on social media, seeing the content that's coming out, you know. And I'm sure for you, letting go of your content and allowing somebody else to edit that, right, and cut it up and say, no, this is, you know what you think you said and what was important, but I know what I heard, right. And this is cool. This is the bite, right? This is what people want.
That is so true. And to that point too, we had earlier mentioned, which I think is so important, I had in traditional media marketing, being a little bit more experienced and older than most, I always say, always market when you know, people market when they don't need to, but they don't market when they need to. And I think, you know, and I'm experiencing it even in, you know, my own clients and mine, like the return on investment right now is exponential. And the opportunity to build the relationship and communicate with your customers and potential customers is extraordinary. You know, we just got our first numbers back from the first week, and, you know, with less spend, you know, it was multiples of return with less spend. And, you know, because obviously people can cut back, but I am not paid to say this by Brandon at all, but we got to keep the money moving. I think you're making a big mistake in the marketing side. Money doesn't disappear. That audience doesn't disappear. People will line up for things eventually. And, you know, it doesn't matter. People are so worried whether it's going to be April 1st or May 1st or June 1st. Look, stay in business. But if when you come out the other side, every client, every person in there that is a believer in you and your business will be there for you with a pent up need. And, you know, instead of buying one, they might buy three. So be careful, but this is the time to earn and build an audience. I call them ambassadors more than ever. You know, to kind of close out before we have Heather Monahan come on, you know, what advice would you give if people, you know, are in at least a stable business where they can stay in business? You know, where is your advice on what they should spend? Should they double the amount, triple the amount, or should they half the amount? Like, what are you advising people?
So for us, we're first and foremost looking at what is your strategy, right? And obviously we understand we need to be reactive to a new reality. I couldn't agree with you more. And I want to call focus to this again. You cannot focus on the day that this ends. That is a fool's errand, right? Do not focus on when this is over. focus on what am I doing now and how am I maximizing the opportunity? Because it is an opportunity for a lot of people, particularly on an ad spend. You've got a lot of eyes. You have a lot of new ways to engage. So what is your strategy for approach? How are you communicating and connecting with those ambassadors, as you said? I don't know that I'd put a dollar figure to double or triple, but I think absolutely you're getting so much more for your dollar right now if you can resist the urge to just pull back. Everybody just wants to pull back and freeze. And if you can resist that urge, I think you're going to see that you're going to double and triple your eye set for your ad spend. And equally, the only other note I would say to that is this is an amazing time for people who are entrepreneurs, who want to build a brand, who want to build an independent brand. This is your moment, right? This is a moment where a lot of people are trying to understand, how do I monetize my agency model? How do I shift what I was doing? E-com, this, that, right? And start focusing on how you can provide for people. And I use this little example of, I have a good friend who's a kid's art teacher. And she's going, I'm out of work. I can't go to work. What can I do? And I said, are you kidding? Message every mom you know. They're all in a big mom group, right? And tell them that you're going to entertain their kids from 10 to 11 and do art classes with kids. And all they need is a piece of paper and a crayon. And start building your own brand and start giving back to people. Start investing in the opportunity that you have. You know, my daughter, I have a three-year-old. She's taking ballet classes that are live stream, right? Because she can't go to ballet. And it's a reprieve for mom because I'm in here with you, right? And yeah. The business. And the last thing I would say, David, is just now more than ever is the time that you shouldn't be relaxing and kind of saying, well, we're all on vacation. This is the time you should be working 16 hours a day. I have worked more through this. Not that I work too much anyways, but like, that's my point, right? Like triple down, sure. Like this time at home is for you to invest in yourself and in whatever it is that you're trying to build. And that's not take your foot off the gas today.
I agree. And Brendan, I'll give you one little piece of advice as well. There's no such thing as work for people like you and I. It's just activity you get paid for. So if you're going to get paid more now because we can be more productive and accessible and get better results from what we're doing. So triple down on the activity you get paid for. You may not get paid today, but I think both of us agree that the activity that we have that we get paid for today will be triple or quadruple in the future by doing the same work today that you're going to end up having to do 2 months, 3 months. And the best takeaway, do not focus in on what day this ends. It's a fool's errand, as you say. Focus in on what we can do today. It's going to change and change and change. Compress time, compress change and uncertainty. But there's so much opportunity, especially with Starch Creative. I can see already, and I'm feeling it. I kind of mirror. I watch some of the stuff that you do and see how I can apply it to the middle-aged mutant turtle over here. I may not be Coke, but I'm growing fast.
I'm here to help, David. I'm here to help. Hey, awesome. Thank you so much for having me today, man. I really appreciate it.
We'll do it again, man. Thanks for your great advice. Best of luck. Stay safe and healthy.
Yeah, you as well. Don't touch anyone. See you later.
Sitting here in my closet. That's funny. And here comes Heather. Join me. There she is. Look at her glowing. Oh, Mikey, let's have her on. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
What a great way to end my day.
Oh, good. It's weird that we're not really in person. We're not in California. We're not in Miami. It's a little bizarre.
It is bizarre, but I'm in my closet nonetheless. So
that's tragic. Why are you in your closet?
It was a good, quiet place. I have five kids in my home at the moment, and it's upstairs on the highest floor in double-doored room with a balcony to the outside.
All right, good. As long as you can see the outside world, you are okay.
Oh, thank goodness. Yeah. Well, anyway, what's going on? Tell me how you're feeling and what have you learned through the last couple of weeks?
I mean, I'm good. I learned that, you know, obviously paying more attention internationally makes a lot of sense, right? Like, obviously now we know that. And I'm not one of those people. I'm definitely very focused on the US, US business trends and whatnot. So that really opened my eyes to the, you know, outside of what's happening in our little bubble. So, I mean, that could be around industries, that could be around, you know, geography, it doesn't really matter. But I think that was really eye-opening for me. And to take action fast, thankfully, when I did understand what was happening, you know, I went out and got some necessities and set my son and myself up just in case, worst case scenario, because that makes me feel better. But because of that, now we really haven't had to leave the house. You know, I've gone to Whole Foods twice in the past few weeks. So we're good. And that gives me that sense of calm that, you know, everything's going to be okay. Obviously concerned about everyone else's well-being, but trying to control what I can.
And what about business-wise, you know, working from obviously you stabilize your personal life, which is most important. But then we have, as we were talking to Brandon earlier, this really weird spot as we have compressed time so much into huge change, where people are dancing with literally stability or their lifeline to their business. I have friends that have closed every store, laid off thousands of employees, you know, people that you and I both know. And then I have other friends who, that are tripling and quadrupling the amount of money they make, and their issues, they feel guilty. And I tell them right away, making money should never make you feel guilty. Give it all away if you want. But if you have the opportunity to make money and get this money moving so people have jobs, people have food, people have insurance, keep the money moving. Don't sit at home and feel guilty because you have an opportunity. If you feel guilty, give your money away when you make it, but make sure you're making it right now.
Yeah, because a lot of people aren't, right? And I think, listen, no one projected or could foresee this happening. So with that knowledge, and it reminds me personally of 08, 09, because that was the first time I lived through in business a massive downturn, massive layoffs and whatnot. So what I learned from that that I'm applying here is, number one, don't get so stuck in the negativity that you're so focused on things are never going to be good again that you don't see the opportunity around you. Sometimes it happens to be the business that you're in that you can pivot slightly, that you can, you know, really grow it exponentially. Sometimes it's about maybe you're leaving a business and it's time to look at something you really wanted to do. Instead of panic, and I learned this also from getting fired because I did panic at first, you know, take that moment to pick your head up for a second and look beyond and just say, what is it that I really want to do? What do I love? What are my superpowers? What am I great at? What is my passion? And hey, I'm not saying that it's ideal right now, but you're not leaving the house anyways. Why not take this minute to really check that out, investigate it? Because that's what I did when I got fired, which 2 years later has me here. Now, on that same topic, what happened to me when I got fired was I couldn't go back to the industry I knew. I ended up writing a book. In order to sell a book, I Googled speaking sells books, started speaking, and that became my number one revenue driver. Well, right now, no one's holding events. So all my speaking engagements are canceled. My number one revenue stream has been canceled. But I've learned because of 0809, because of getting fired, because of these other things I've gone through. Okay, Heather, pick your head up. We need to diversify more than we already have. But luckily, I'd already been working on that. So, you know, I had been working on my podcast, my second book, a publishing deal. And this week, last week, my publishing deal came through with HarperCollins. And that's been 1 year in the making. So it's all about how can you have more of an octopus strategy instead of just that one. I used to always have just that one corporate America strategy. This is my paycheck. This is my life. And now I really believe in that octopus. You know, if my podcast ever goes down, I had the speaking, I have an online course, I have my book, I have my second book. I have multiple things happening at all different times so that you don't have to flatline around one. And if you didn't have that previously, now's the time to start working on that plan.
It's so smart. And I call it my spine approach, where I build my businesses. So here's my primary business. How does it lead to the business below it, to the business below it, to the business? Because you built a business where your spine is your personal content, right? Quality content is your spine. And then you started realizing I have all these different places that if it's not in person on a stage, it's all these others. And you've been building that over the last year. The one thing I would suggest that you add though, Heather, that I learned through, I've been a little bit, you know, obviously I look 20 years older than you, but I'm a little bit older than you. I created vertebrae. So not only do I have the spine, but what I started doing is all through my spine, these core businesses that I have, people ask me for things all the time. So I created relationships of vertebrae where I can make a percentage by introducing when people ask me, do you do this? And I say, no, I really don't know social media marketing, call Brandon Ball. And then Brandon pays me a finder's fee. And I have so many vertebrae now that people, you know, through this tough time have, they're searching and seeking. And it's almost, I feel like, you know, risky business. I know I'm known for the other Tom Cruise movie, but I feel like Tom Cruise in that movie, it's like, I know a guy that knows how to get things, right? And I had branded that person of recovery and revenue, et cetera. And you're very, very similar to me that you have this capability of building a very, very long spine and here the vertebrae approach, because you're, you have credibility, emotional attachment to people, but you really quantify value very, very well and impact them extremely well. So you can create even more revenue streams because, you know, you're young enough. I promise you one thing and you're not going to like it. This won't be the last time we have to deal with this.
Right? Did you see that TED Talk? You know, Bill Gates did this TED Talk, I guess, 5 years ago, where he addresses, and I watched it the other day, that there is an upcoming pandemic, literally. And then he says, it won't be the only one. We'll see a series of them. And then he implies it may be chemical warfare actually intentionally created. So it's interesting you bring that topic up because as sad as it is, you're right. We can't just bury our head in the sand. Instead, next time, let's be prepared.
Yeah. And it's funny because I do and have watched that. And in some respects, I have only prepared for something like this. So I wish I was smart enough to tell you I was prepared for this. But I luckily have traveled internationally quite frequently, having discussions. I was just in India before this all occurred with, you know, the secretaries of defense that were talking about what they were doing and how they were doing it, not with chemical warfare, but just their philosophy of spend on how they do space travel and other things. And I was learning all these lessons. The one thing that both of us, through the ups and the downs of our lives, is we've been able to extract these lessons that have now been beneficial to creating stability and opportunity, even during the toughest times. What's the one lesson through your journey as we finish up here? What would be the lesson that you would tell a young entrepreneur who's sitting at home terrified? They've never seen anything. They've seen 13. So if you're 23 years old, you've only seen since you were 10 extraordinary wealth in this country. Everything's going great, right? I mean, literally. So what would you tell the person whose perspective cannot be one that we have, but this is the first thing where they must wake up terrified every morning, like their life is. I do have people Instagram me, how can you be so positive when the earth is, you know, literally ending, right? What's the advice that you give those people?
Yeah, it's so weird that you and I can actually laugh about this now because we have been through other such massive negative events. And there is something so powerful about that. I feel really bad for those people. I feel bad for my stay-at-home mom friends who have had like really easy lives and, you know, have never even been aware that there, you know, were other major economic upheavals. So there's almost a power in the struggle. And that's what I want people to recognize right now. Number one, you don't have all the answers at 23, or if you have, you know, had this perfect blessed life for a long time. Here's the time to listen to people like you and I who have actually lived through the worst of it in so many different ways. Because like you said, this isn't the only struggle we're going to face. It's not the end of it. There's going to be more, and we're all going to be okay. And so there are books you can read about this. You can go to the history books right now if you want to go back to the world wars and imagine how people felt then. You know, there are multitudes of different pandemics, or whether it be Ebola, or, you know, there's so many different issues that our world has faced. Just because you haven't lived in it or been immersed in it doesn't mean it didn't happen and people didn't feel that same way. So when you start exposing yourself to that knowledge, it's going to empower you to feel more hopeful. It's going to empower you to say, I can be part of the innovation process. It could be part of potentially resolving this. I mean, we're seeing so many different businesses. I saw in Miami, FIU, their 3D printing division started creating these masks to protect doctors across Florida, and now they're getting all these orders. This came as a result of what's happening right now, right? So innovation is happening in schools, at home, in the workplace, everywhere. And that is massive. And that is so exciting. So, you know, we can choose what we focus on. We can choose what we want to immerse ourselves in. I choose not to immerse myself in television and media all day. I do it one time per day. And then I let go of it. And I know that the next morning I'm going to, you know, I'll check out what's happening again. But when you, whatever you decide to succumb to and immerse yourself in, that's where you're going to be. And the more you start saying, I'm going to get sick and things aren't going to work out and it's going to get worse, you're going to start creating and manifesting this prophecy for yourself. I have a very good friend that did this from day one. She's been saying, you know, I'm going to get it. She got it.
Oh God. Yeah.
So, and P.S., she's fine, right? But so here's the thing, you know, the majority of people are okay. Let's lead by being optimistic. Let's lead with gratitude. Let's lead with being hopeful. And when we do that and start working on the things that we can control, we start becoming productive. feeling accomplished, feeling empowered, and leading the people around us. And every morning, that's each one of our jobs, is to say, yes, I'm quarantined with X amount of people. It's my job to show up and lead today. And how are you doing that?
That's amazing. This is why I adore Heather Monahan, because she has and shares the same perspective as me. We seek the best in what we look for, whether it's people. I always say, seek the superpowers of everyone, your relationships. That's what you'll get from that relationship. If you look for the negative in a relationship, you're going to get that personality trait. Everybody has them. I also say on the news, you got to stay informed, but seek the news that you want. So if you're really interested in how many people die a day, then go ahead at the end of the day and do that search, that one search. Get your number, but don't sit there all day long. You know, there's an old study about negative energy. If I sat here all day and said, you're ugly, you're ugly, you're ugly, you're ugly, you're ugly, to water, it would turn brown by the end of the day. That's what people are doing with this news. It's just constant, constant, constant. Just seek what you want. Seek the information you want. Seek the positive energy that you want, the opportunity that you want, and go ahead and make the best of this. And I think what best summarizes your attitude and you is, this is a woman who I know has smiled through struggle and come out the other side far better than she ever was. And she, I can't wait to see how you come out the side of this one. That's why I wanted to have you on, because it's fun to put a milestone on here and everyone be like, oh my God, Heather Monahan's so huge now. How'd that happen? Because she smiled through the struggle. She saw what she wanted to seek and she got it. And I appreciate you taking the time to teach everyone those lessons.
And I can't wait to be high five again in person. So looking forward to it.
Social, yeah. One of my favorites, Heather Monahan. Thank you for joining me. I love these LinkedIn Lives. I never thought I would do them, but thank you for being on.
Thanks for having me.
You got it. Take care.
Hey, everybody. This is Josh. I hope you enjoyed that episode of The Playbook. If you haven't already, make sure to go over to David's YouTube channel and check out the new film we created. I'm telling you, this is one of my absolute favorite films that I've created yet working for David, and you need to go check it out. Go to the search bar on YouTube, type in David Meltzer, and make sure to subscribe.